Praise the Lord. So what we're going to do is we're going to use our Bible. And you can come from a church background and church traditions, and I love church. But sometimes the things that we collect in church, believe it or not, maybe not come out of the Word of God, right? Such as women are not allowed to teach. Okay, that's totally out of context, and yet there's a lot of churches that actually believe that. Obviously, you're not, because look at me, right? All righty. So we need to look at the Word of God. We need to say, hey, what does the Word of God say about who the Holy Spirit is and what is the purpose of Him, okay? And if you don't, you run into some of these people, and they're talking about, oh, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and they're like, oh, this is confusing, this is goofy. So we have to have the Word of God. The Word of God is the beginning and the end. It's the absolute truth. So that's why I say get your Bibles out. And where is this? Take some notes, okay? Take notes. Praise the Lord. Today, the title of our message is called The Power Source. The Power Source. So write that down on your card because I know you're all taking notes. The Power Source. I can't embarrass you. Are you kidding me? You got two little kids and life is... But I saw you looking. So praise the Lord. If anything, you can write your grocery list on the back. So when I say power source, most of you, you know, right away kind of get it. Come on, we live in an age where we've got tons of electronics, iPads, iPhones, tablets. I don't even know what half of them are. And, you know, when I think of my cell phone, which is, it's about a year old, you know, and I feel like it's a year old and now I feel like it's actually dies earlier. I'm like, what? And, but, you know, as soon as I get a new one, and I'm like, whoa, man, this thing can go 4 days, I'm exaggerating, without plugging it in, right? And the one I have now, I just want to smack it some days, going, I can't believe you're out of juice. I can't believe this, okay? So you all know what a power source is, right? You know what a power source is? You awake? You shake your head, you're awake. Okay, you know what a power source is. A power source is something you plug into, right, so that thing will keep going, right? A power source, okay? So here's my question, and we're talking really about the Holy Spirit, the power source, but here's my question. Are you connected to the power source? Are you connected to the power source, all right? Are you connected to what God says about the power source? Ooh, question mark, okay? So that's what we're going to talk about. So it's real interesting when we say power source, the Holy Spirit. You can walk around with some different ideas of what it is again. And so again, we're going to say you have to look at the Word of God. So open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at the Word of God, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If you've grown up at YCF, you should probably be able to do cartwheels while you say this verse. You know this, okay? But this might be new to some other people. So write down Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Here we go. Praise the Lord. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power. Come on, power. All right, you shall receive power. All right, what are you supposed to receive? All right, when? All right, when the Holy Spirit comes upon. Look at that. When the Holy Spirit comes upon. All righty. Now, if you were raised in the Baptist, my Baptist, old Baptist girl here, Dolores tells me being Baptist, and I'm not knocking it. Listen, in just wonderful people, a denomination that just goes after the lost and stuff like that. But, so I'm going to look at Dolores because she's told me these stories. If you were raised in the Baptist church, you probably, matter of fact, you absolutely, they do a really good job. They absolutely pound this into you that the day you receive Jesus, ask Jesus to be Lord and your Savior, the day these good little Baptist boys and girls do that, the Holy Spirit, they tell you, they know this, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside. Anybody ever hear that? Well, he does. But, everybody say but. But this scripture's not talking about that, y'all. This scripture's not talking about that. So yes, the day I've asked Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of my life, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit has come in to live in me. Everybody say, He lives in me. But, look at this scripture, right? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Okay, so we've got Him coming in you, and then we have Him coming upon you. I think they're two different things, don't you? Those are two different things, okay? So again, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witness. Okay, this is why. All those two-year-olds that go, why? Okay, this is why you need the Holy Spirit. It tells you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. So most of you know that the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, right? But here's my question. What's He doing on the inside? What's He doing on the inside of you? All right? Is he just like the hitchhiker that you picked up and he's sitting in the back seat doing nothing? Uh-huh. Or is He like you picked Him up, you asked Him, and now He's on the front seat, and listen to this. Because I used to be like, I don't like that. Is he controlling your life? You're not controlling me. This guy, the Holy Spirit, comes. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, calm down, Pastor D. Here we go. All righty, here. Let me give you two different scriptures. Turn over to Romans chapter 6, verse 4. And if just write that down, Romans 6, 4, and then write down Romans 8, 11. Just write it down, okay? Romans 6, 4, because I'm going to go fast, all right? And I only had a half a cup of coffee today. Just want to tell you, I'm cutting back. So this is me, not really my coffee, okay? Or Jersey, I don't know, okay? This is me. Y'all at Romans 6, 4? Okay, here we go. We were buried, therefore, with Him, with Jesus, by baptism, into death, in order, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, underline that, the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. All right? One scripture. Second scripture, look at this. Some of you are looking at me like, what are you talking about, Pastor D? Hang on. Okay. If the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, of whom who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Okay, so you got two different scriptures, right? Now, one of them says, what? The glory of God, that Romans 6 says, the glory of God raised Jesus from the dead. Did you see that? And the other one, Romans 8 says, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus Christ from the dead. All right? So what the heck is this talking about? Glad you asked. Let me tell you. Y'all know about 2,000 years ago or more, Jesus Christ died, right? He died on a cross. Everybody know that? He died on a cross, okay? And when you look at scriptures, it says He died on a cross, and then He did that to pay a price for my sin, for your sins, for everybody's sins in hell. When I was teaching kids downstairs, come on, everybody, let's say this bad word. Hell. You should see little kids cracking up. And then I go, it's not a bad word, it's a place. So if you really just want to get kids just to bubble and giggle in Pastor D's class, I say, come on, we get to say the word hell. All right. Okay, back on place. I had a great time in children's ministry. Olivia, did you have fun with me? Yeah. Okay. She's still laughing at me. Okay. So Jesus died on a cross. He paid the price for our sins, and He went to hell. Do you know some people don't believe Jesus went to hell? Yeah, there's a bunch. And you know what I say? Fine, you're going to go there. If He did not go to hell and pay the price for your sins and my sins, He did it so I wouldn't have to go there. So I am very tickled pink. Are you glad Jesus died and went to hell? I am really hell. Okay, day one in hell. Jesus is in hell. Guess who owns the place down there? The devil is there. Satan's in there. And nothing's happening. Matter of fact, the devil's probably having a party. Yoo-hoo, loo-hoo, look, we got him. We killed him. He's down here, all right? Day two, the devil's like, yeah, baby, this is great. Jesus is in hell. Day three, there's a rumble go on, right? There was a rumble. Yep. And something started happening. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, right? And by the way, he is not intimidated by hell. He is not intimidated by the devil. So he's not intimidated or freaking out on the hell that you're living. Guess what? The Holy Spirit went down to hell and raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. It's time for a song. Woo! Come on. Okay. Who raised him from hell? That scripture said the Holy Spirit. There's a bunch of them like that. Okay. So here's the deal. The day you receive Jesus into your life, guess what? That day, you got connected to the power source, the Holy Spirit. That day you got connected to the power source. Okay. I had three people come up in here and say, Pastor D, do you want me to put this away for you? I said, no, it's object lesson time. Okay. Now, Pastor D, don't trip over it. Okay. Let's see if I can not do that. You know, it's a year ago walking backwards and tripped. Okay. So I'm very pleased. Woo. All righty. This is a vacuum cleaner. My nanny used to call it a sweeper. It's like, no, Graham. So this is a vacuum cleaner in case you men have never seen one in your life. Okay. See this? All right. And it's connected back there. Back there is the outlet. It's connected to, what is it connected to? A power source. Okay. So it's connected to the power source. Now, have you ever done this? Okay. Oh. I'm vacuuming, okay, you can't hear me. I'm vacuuming, and I just want to get over to that corner, and the next thing I know, that thing unplugs. Have you ever had that happen? You're like, then I got to walk all the way around here. After it unplugs, what do? You walk over there and plug it in. You don't just keep going. You don't do that, do you? My kids would try pulling that on me. Mom, I finished vacuuming. Okay, no. Alrighty. So, praise the Lord. Guys, you are connected to a power source. Right? You are connected to a power source. It's the Holy Spirit. The day you receive Jesus Christ in your life. But, you have to stay connected. You have to stay connected. You have to stay, like, turned on, all right? You have to stay turned on with the Holy Spirit's ability and power. Amen. Pastor G, that's awesome. Okay. So, you have to stay connected. Now, how many of you know that scripture? I say this probably all the time. Jesus Christ will never leave you or forsake you, right? I'll never abandon you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken and begging bread. I tell the Lord that all the time, okay? So, that scripture, I will never leave you or forsake you, says that you are always plugged in, right? With Jesus. He says, I'll never leave you. He made that promise, okay? Now, but for me to have power operating in my life, guess what? And empowerment. Oh, I like that word. I'm going to say that 1,000 times today. So just get, Pastor D, you've said it already. Empowerment. So for me to have the power to be empowerment in my life, it doesn't just happen in my life. There's something I have to do, okay? And we'll talk more about that in the series, and you don't want to miss one, all right? I'm leaving you on hanging here, okay? But today, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, how he empowers us. Like, what does he do in our life? What does the Holy Spirit do in our life? So, you know, if I'm shopping and there's like 5 different varieties, I want to know what this does. This one might not do this, and that does, but this does. You know, I want to know what it does. Don't you want to know what the Holy Spirit does? So, yeah, okay, so we're going to talk about how the power source actually works in our life. I want to know how it works, all right, because then you might stay connected. Praise the Lord. All right. Before we go on, I just want to read you this quote. How many of you have heard of Christine Kane? We're doing a Bible study downstairs. Awesome girl. She's got that Australia accent, and I can't do that. Australia accent. She's an evangelist. She came out of Hillsong. Just a fantastic lady. And by the way, she's got a couple books. One's called Undaunted. Daunted. Yes. Just go on Google later, Christine Kane, a testimony of what the world's horrors did to a woman and what the power of God changed her to. All right. So don't go crying to me. I'll go listen to Christine Kane. She's just incredible. Okay, her quote. I didn't get lost. Here we go. If you don't know what God has said, you'll fall for what anybody says. So how about this one? If you don't know what God says about the Holy Spirit, you'll fall for what anybody says. All right? So did you notice? I usually give you a minimum of 5 to 10 scriptures a Sunday, don't I? Yeah. Okay? No, I just make all of this stuff up. No, I'm going to give you the Word of God, okay? So something, you'll have something to base your life on, and you should go home and check it out. All righty? And have fun with different translations. It is fun. Okay, moving right along. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and last week I mentioned Pentecost Sunday, because it says in Acts 1 that the Holy Spirit came upon them. Okay, history class, here we go, a little history. Pentecost Sunday. What the heck is Pentecost Sunday? Well, actually, it starts in the Old Testament, and it goes by a different name, all right, Pentecost Sunday. But in the book of Acts, Acts 1, it talks about Pentecost Sunday where the Holy Spirit came upon them. So, but it's really Old Testament. So what happened in the Old Testament? Okay, I'll tell you. Passover. Have you everybody heard about the Passover? Okay. Passover, then after they had the first Passover, God told them they are to do this and do this and do this, continually do this and tell of the story. So you would have Passover, and then 7 weeks later, well really 50 days later, was Pentecost. And it was a holiday. It's a one-day holiday. So 50 days later was Pentecost. It was a one-day holiday. And so here we are. That's Old Testament. Now we are in New Testament. So you've got Passover, 50 days later, the day of Pentecost, and a whole bunch of those guys are up in the upper room, and it says the Holy Spirit came upon them. All right? The Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came on Pentecost Sunday. Now, the funny part is, that wasn't just like his first time to be on planet Earth. Everybody, write this down. Matthew, I think chapter 4, but Matthew chapter 4, something like that. Remember when Jesus was water baptized? Who remembers that? He went to the River Jordan to be water baptized, okay? He went down, and as he came up, okay, as he came up, it says, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit came upon him like a... And you all remember the bird, but listen, no, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. And then this says, there's a voice that came out of the clouds and said, this is my beloved son. One translation says, listen to him. Okay, now, right about there, people start freaking out. A voice came out of the cloud. Well, guys, we got people in the world, and they are so into supernatural stuff, right? All right? And yet, when I tell you this, would you kind of agree with me that was a little supernatural? Uh-huh. Okay? The voice and, you know, all of that. Okay, so when we say in church, oh, well, my gosh, I go to a church that's Pentecostal, supernatural, and people are like, oh, freaking out, scary. Come on, all right? But listen, we got supernatural stuff in the world, all right? And the people in the world that believe in the supernatural, by the way, it's motivated by not God. Right? Would you agree? It's not God that motivates that kind of supernatural, okay? But here in church, right, us church folks, guess what? We have a supernatural, the Holy Spirit, right? Praise God. So you shouldn't be going, oh, this is so scary. Come on. It's not. Okay. We have a supernatural, and it is the power source that we need to be connected to. All right, and there's nothing freaky about it. But I will say, sometimes people get a little freaky. All right, Pastor D, be nice. All right, so here we go. We have a supernatural, and our supernatural is different than the world's supernatural. Our supernatural is the power source. So if you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you have him living, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, okay, and you're saying, well, that's about all that's happened in my life. Can I tell you there's more? There's more. There's more. The Holy Spirit to come upon you, and it's more and better for your life. The Holy Spirit is awesome. Praise God. And it's not scary or freaky or goofy, all right? Turn over to Acts 2:12. Can I tell you, we have Acts 1:8, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and then they went bananas. That's not right. They went out, and they just told everybody about who the Holy Spirit was, right? They also... Pastor D, calm down. Y'all at Acts 2, Acts 2:12, here we go. This is the response of people after the Holy Spirit came upon them. This is the response of people that were outside. Ready? Acts 2:12. They were all amazed. Everybody say amazed. They were perplexed. Oh, I'm so perplexed. All right. So they were all amazed and perplexed, and they asked one another, what does this mean? Do you see that? Okay. So for all of you that don't really get this, or you're thinking it's freaky, let me tell you why they asked that question. Because after the Holy Spirit had come upon the whole bunch that was in the upper room, the disciples and the whole bunch up there, they heard, everybody else heard what? Heard those guys and ladies, there are ladies up there, by the way, and I bet you there are a bunch of kids up there. I bet you they had children's ministry going on. Okay, so the Holy Spirit came upon them, and all of them started speaking in another language, and you all that weren't up in the upper room were like, oh my gosh. They're talking in my language, my native tongue, okay? So it was a little amazing, wasn't it? It was amazing, okay? Do you know that several years ago, and I mean years, a couple decades ago, can't remember where I saw this, but Time Magazine on their front cover wrote this, ready? The fastest growing movement in churches is the Spirit-filled church. The Holy Ghost churches. This is probably about, 15, 20 years ago. Because I haven't looked at Time Magazine in ages, okay? So, guess what? It's not weird to have the Holy Spirit come upon you, is it? It's not freaky, okay? It's actually empowerment, all right? And we're going to talk more about that here. All righty. So today, what I want to talk about is, how does the Holy Spirit empower you and I? Like, what does he do? What's for? Okay, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Alrighty? Now, you know what I found out? God never, never gives power unless there's a purpose. He's just not like throwing, what do you call it, fairy dust around. People are so silly. He just doesn't give power unless there's a purpose for it. Alrighty? So, don't you want to know what the purpose is? I do. Alrighty, I do. Okay? Now, for years, we thought the purpose was it's just in the church for the preacher. The preacher gets to have all the power and do these amazing, wonderful things, okay? No, that is not the only purpose, right? That is not the only purpose for the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, the preacher's job is to let you know that you can have the power in your life. And then I can go on vacation, all right? Okay, so my job is to let you know that the Holy Spirit is for you, that you can be empowered by the Holy Spirit for your life. And then I'm going to tell you more things of what you do with it, all right? So, so you shouldn't be walking around, oh gosh, I'm so powerless, poor me, I'm so powerless. Has anybody ever had a situation when you felt powerless? I have, okay? Well, that's not what God intended for your life. Poor thing. Poor thing. He intended for you to receive Jesus, have the Spirit in you and upon you, where you'll be empowered for things in life. All right? Aren't you glad our God just doesn't want you being a wimp? Gosh. All right. So here's a real simple way to stay connected to the power source. Ready? Every day, before you put your feet on the ground, acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Okay, acknowledge Him. All right? Ask Him to help you. Part two. Acknowledge Him and ask Him to help you in everything you do. In everything you do. All right? That's a good way to stay connected. Now, this was probably the first book I ever read by Benny Hinn. And you can have an opinion about him, but you know, you're not allowed to talk about the men and women of God. Woohoo! Don't ever, yeah. Keep your mouth shut. But you can keep your opinion up here. But this was an incredible book, right? If you have not read this, it's an easy read. Okay? I'm giving it away. But you have to read it. This is, okay, come up. Here we go. Here you go. Two back here, two. Do you want your own? Do you write in yours? I write all over books. So you can, hey, nice haircut, Mark. Looking good. All right. Anybody else not read this, want to read this? Deb, just fun. Fun read. Robert, you could do this one too. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Here we go. Eli, right over there is his Leslie. There you go. I'm trying to jump over people's and, you know. Oh, here we go. Anybody else? I got a bunch of them. You know, Jack back in the day would order not just one book, like 24 books, right? We have books. Whoa, watch it. All right. If you read it and you tell me you read it and you can tell me 3 sentences, I will give you $5. Uh-huh. You know who taught me that? John Maxwell. Everybody ever hear him? John Maxwell, his dad did that. Every summer when your kids are going, I'm so bored, he would say, I want you to read a book, and if you tell me, he'd have to write a little mini book report, he'd give him $5. And this was back in the dark ages. $5 was a lot of money. Sorry, I'm still only giving $5. All right. So I'll give out $5. I'll make sure, remind me to have $5 next week. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, here we go. My spiritual father is Brother Hagin. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm just so grateful that I got to sit under this man of God. And I want to give you a quote he wrote. He says, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Have you ever heard that said? The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will never force you to do something that you don't want to do. So you have to ask Him, acknowledge Him, and ask Him to help you. All right? Now, in my house, I make you do things, but good thing the Holy Spirit, you know, when my kids are like, I'm going to make you do this. All right, so Holy Spirit. All righty. Now, have you ever had this happen? You're just minding your own business, right? And the Holy Spirit starts tugging on your heart, all right, to call somebody. The Holy Spirit starts tugging on your heart to read a particular book. Turn off the TV, read this book. The Holy Spirit starts tugging on you to go say something encouraging to that person at the grocery store. Right? Anybody ever had that happen? Uh-huh. Praise the Lord. This happened to Sherry. This is when she was back living in Tulsa. Her Jeep, that other one. The AC went out in Tulsa in July. It's stinking hot there. Somebody said, would you ever want to live in Tulsa? No way. I don't like hot, in case you all know that. So she was a part of their youth team, youth leaders teams, and there was this gentleman, and he watched her drive into the parking lot with windows down, you know, and everybody else's, and just sweating and looking yucky. And one day he said, the Holy Spirit tugged on my heart. I'm going to pay to put a new air conditioner unit in your car. And he did. How many of you want the Holy Spirit talking to people? Come on, baby. So you have to know this, all right? Years ago, we had we upgraded from a jalopy to a almost not quite okay. We would upgrade cars, okay? But when we got the upgrade, and I've yet to have a brand new car, but they're always good used cars, new. They're always new to me, okay? So years ago, someone had given us this car, and we ran it around for a while, and then the Holy Spirit put it on our heart to give it to somebody. And they were tickled pink. They rode that thing. Oh, speaking of which, yeah. They rode that thing for a couple of years. It was a blessing, all right? Years ago, we had a rental property, and the Holy Spirit talked to us to give it away. Boy, don't you want the Holy Spirit talking to everybody today? Give that house to me, okay? All right. But how many times have you stopped and said, oh, that can't be God. Get rid of that. Was going to be my kids' tuition money to college. In my mind, that's what that house was. And man, the Holy Spirit. Okay? But sometimes we go, oh, I'm not listening, right? And we stop, all righty? So listen, if the Holy Spirit really is talking to you, He'll supply. He'll be the supply. He'll supply the power or whatever. So we did. Praise the Lord. And you know what? Sent kids to college. It was fun. Glad those days are over, though. All righty. So I'm going to give you four things that the Holy Spirit empowers me to do, you to do. Right? Four things, and then we're going to wrap up. Sure, Pastor D. Four things that the Holy Spirit empowers me. Ready? Four things. Number one, the Holy Spirit empowers me to live righteously. Huh? What do you mean righteously? Okay, real simple. The Holy Spirit empowers me to live right. Really simple. The Holy Spirit empowers me to live right. Okay. I don't know if you've noticed, but we are living on the earth now, and people, they just decide what right and not right is. They don't even know what it is. I don't know what it is. I'm just going to make up what it is. Right? All right? Right. Okay. But listen, if the Bible, if you're a follower of Jesus, this Bible tells you what is right and what is not right. So go read your Bible. Righty? Right. So we've got the Bible that tells us what's right. And then we have the Holy Spirit. And what He does, He empowers you so you can live that out. Matter of fact, He empowers me so I can be like Jesus. That's what He does. Because listen, me without Jesus, I am not pretty or nice. I'm not. But so I've got this Holy Spirit. He's helping me. So you know, praise God. You keep up the good work here, Lord Jesus. All right. So the Holy Spirit empowers us to live our life like Jesus. All right. Turn over to Romans 8. Let me give you a scripture because you know I got scriptures here. Romans 8, 9. Just write it down. Romans 8, 9. I just love the Holy Spirit. I mean, I just love that He is here to help me. Man, thank you. Okay, Romans 8, 9. You who, however, are controlled not by your... Okay, he's talking to believers. He says, you are not controlled by your sinful nature, but by the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, all right? So you're controlled by the who? Holy Spirit. So one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is He moves in and He's going to help you actually, and I didn't used to like this word because I got a rebellion all over the place. He helps control your life so your life doesn't control you, right? He will help control your life. Praise God. So that doesn't control me. Now, have you ever seen somebody, no pointing, and their life is just drama? Drama. It's always drama. Okay? And it's so out of control. Anybody know anybody like that? Maybe it's you. Okay? But listen, guys. God doesn't want you to be like that. He doesn't want you to have drama all over the place. He wants to empower you so you can have empower you with the Holy Spirit to help control your life. Amen. And guys, the world needs to see us. The world needs to see us, not weird. They need to see us living a controlled, beautiful life that reflects Jesus. Because they're out of control, right? They're out of control. It's bananas, all right? Matter of fact, they want to look at us and go, oh, man, there's something different. I get around that person, there's something different. They always act different than I do, all right? That's a compliment, by the way. All righty, so praise the Lord. And by the way, I don't think Christian families should be having drama in their house all the time. You're supposed to be the light empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay, quickly moving on to number two, because you just love that one. Here we go. Number two, the Holy Spirit empowers us to live supernaturally. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live supernaturally.
What? Did you say that word supernatural? Okay. Pastor D, they have a TV show called The Supernatural, and they've got zombies and The Walking Dead. That's supernatural. No.
No. By the way, the world is just consumed with the supernatural. Wouldn't you agree? Any night you can turn the TV on and there's something of that kind of supernatural going on. Vampires, gee whiz. Okay. Here's a really simple definition of supernatural. Ready? God comes on your natural. God comes on your natural with his super. I stole that. I love that. I read that about 5 years ago. It was so good. God comes on your natural with his super. Okay? Okay, that means he will help you live beyond what you can. He will help you. He will help you when you're just, I can't. I don't know what to do. All right? He will help you, okay? So just think about it. When you say, man, I don't know what to do. It's bad. Then God can help you with his supernatural, and he'll get you through. How many have had that happen in your life? Man, you could write books. You could write a book. Oh, my gosh. Some of you. All right. Turn over to Acts 10:38. Holy Spirit, thank you that you help us with your supernatural in my life. Every day, I acknowledge you. I thank you. Giving you time to get to Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38. Here we go. You know that God anointed. Okay, interesting word, anointed. That means the Holy Spirit comes upon, all right? The Holy Spirit comes upon. So it says, you know that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So what does does a supernatural life look like? That. What does a supernatural life with the Holy Spirit empowered look like? That. Did you read that? Okay. It looks like God helping us, right? God helping us. Praise the Lord. Where normally we go, I can't. Uh-oh. All right. So the Holy Spirit, he helps us. All righty. Now, let me give you an example. Social media. Y'all know what social media is. I'm still learning all the social media. You know what a hashtag is? I thought it was a pound signal sign there on the. It's called hashtag. It's a social media. They do this, okay? So people love putting posts on social media with their hashtag, and they'll go like this: "The struggle is real." Hashtag, right? It's hard. Hashtag. I don't think I'm gonna make it. Hashtag. Okay. God help me. Hashtag. There's a whole generation that does that. I have never done one of those yet, but I read them all, okay? Yeah, okay. So if you are not familiar with social media, that's what they do, this y'all people, okay? It's just what they do. And you know what it does? Hashtag and all this thing? They're writing stuff for you and me to read that 100 years ago you wouldn't tell nobody. You would never think of doing that. Not these days. Yeah, it's so crazy out there. Okay, but listen, we got social media and people. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking at the exit sign up there. And they just love for you to hear about all their stuff, hashtag. And I want to go, hashtag, why don't you knock it off, hashtag? And I'll tell, okay, so turn to this scripture because I think Jesus will say this better than, hashtag, the struggles are real. Help me, God. Okay, turn over to John 16:33. Okay, praise the Lord. Phew. Praise the Lord. John 16:33, this is how the Amplified. Some of you could do, okay, no, okay, pray. John 16:33. I have told you these things, so that in me you have perfect peace. Thank you, Jesus, for peace. And confidence. Yay. In the world. By the way, that's where you live. You still live in the world, okay? You have tribulation and trials and distresses and frustrations And here's what Jesus says. Be of good cheer. All right? Now, some of you would have wrote, hashtag tribulation, hashtag trials, hashtag distresses, hashtags double frustrations, okay? That's what I'm going through right now, hashtag. I'm glad you, okay, but here's what Jesus wrote. Come on, guys. He said, be of good cheer. Because Jesus is going, hashtag be of good cheer. He did. I'm reading that. Be of good cheer. Praise the Lord. And then the rest of it says, be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted. Why? Get the why. For I have come, overcome. I have overcome the world. Praise the Lord. Oh, well, we'll read the rest. I have deprived it of its power to harm you. I have conquered it for you. Praise God. Praise God. Now, doesn't that look like Jesus is saying, well, you should always talk about all your struggles, hashtag. Does that scripture look like that? No, it doesn't. Guys, I get it. Some of us are going through struggles, and they're not fun. And I am not making light of some of the situations that we live in, all right? But sometimes I think we glorify our struggles. Hashtag. All right? This is what I'm going through, okay? This is what my life is. My kids are animals, hashtag. My kids are going to hell, hashtag. My marriage is barren, hashtag. This stuff, hashtag. Gosh, okay? Why are we saying all of that? Okay? How about, you know, I know what. Well, I want everybody to know what I'm going through. They need to know all my struggles in life. My kid didn't poop in the potty yesterday, and you need to know all of that, hashtag. I saw that. I'm sorry, please. I've read that on Facebook. Craziest thing. Like, okay? But on the real thing of life, I get that there are struggles. And I pray for you. And I hope you're praying for me, okay? But we're all going around there. But you know what Jesus said? I have overcome the world for you. You should be jumping out of your seat. Yay! Okay? So what happens if we get more into Jesus, we start understanding more of what he did for us and what the Holy Spirit helps us through? Hallelujah. You won't be doing those hashtags. All right. Guys, we live in a bunch of new generations. Some days I feel old because I'm like, but I don't let that, I just throw that one out the window really quick, okay? But this generation, it's a lot of young older ones, okay? They are so media minded. That's all they think. And you know what? They are going down a path that I know is not the path that God has for them. All righty? So, and this is the sad part. They think that's normal. Hashtag the everything, blah, blah, blah. They think that's normal. That's normal. That's how I live my life. That's normal, all right? But listen, normal is you allow the Holy Spirit, his supernatural ability to come and empower you. That is normal. Amen? Say normal. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, number two, will help you live a supernatural life. Amen. Number three, the Holy Spirit will help you live a life on a mission. Who's been on a mission trip before? I hate mission trips. Always go to the ones that where it's hot. You know I don't like hot. And so finally I just say, listen, I'll give you my money. And Bob Holland loves it. He says, this is what I need. And I send him my money. But I will go when the Holy Spirit tells me to go. Okay, praise the Lord. Alrighty. Most of us think I am going to live my own life the way I want to live because I'm on a mission for me, right? But not any of you, okay? But listen, I don't think any of you are ever going to say this. You're going to die. You're going to go to heaven. I don't think any of you are going to say this. You know, you get up to heaven, you're going to go, oh man, I wish I would have made more money while I was down on earth. I don't think you're going to say that when you get to heaven. Oh man, I should have started more businesses and made more money and stayed away from home more. I don't think you're going to say that. You're going to get to heaven and say, oh my, I should have done more for the kingdom of God. You're going to look at his eyes. I cry every time I say that. Go look at Jesus' eyes. And I'm, you know, I shouldn't have done more. Okay. Did it again. Praise the Lord. Okay. So here's the deal. You have the Holy Spirit. And he will help you on your mission. Everybody say, I have a mission. And my mission is God's mission. God has a mission for all of us. It's not about you. Me. It's not about self, okay? God has a mission. The day you receive, matter of fact, before creation, I used to say the day you received Jesus, really before, you were even a twinkle in your mommy's eyes, right? God had a mission for you. He has a mission for you. He has a mission for you. Say, he has a mission for me. The Bible talks in Hebrews, it says that we are sojourners upon this earth, a.k.a. we are aliens upon this earth. That means this is not our real place. Heaven is my home. And I'm just trucking through. This is, okay, so I am sojourning through this life. And while I'm this life, I am not to forget, I have a mission from God. All right, here, turn to the scripture. This shows us our mission. I know we've read it already, Acts 1:8. Got to look at it again. This is the mission. You all on the mission? Ready? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses. Now he tells you your mission. Ready? I don't know what I'm called to do in life. Here it is. This is your mission. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So what he's talking about? What is he talking about? You're to live a life on a mission. You're to live a life on a mission. And I want to tell you, it is so easy to get consumed in the world. Oh my gosh. Some days I go, spank me. I can't believe I just got sucked down over there. It's easy to get consumed in the world. It really is, okay? But guys, how about we get on a mission for Jesus? To say, Jesus, what is my mission today? And listen, I am a list person. Anybody get around me? I write lists. I got a list already for tomorrow. And it's only today. It's my day off. I am going to cram everything. Okay, I got a mission. But my real thing is, I'm working on it. I'm applying this in my life. Lord Jesus, you have a mission for me tomorrow. What is it? Okay? Help me get through my list here. But listen, since I've just gone a little bit older, I really found out I want more of his mission in my life. Some things that I used to think were so important, I'm just out the window. I'm getting rid of it, okay? I got other things I'm still working on here because I'm not perfect here. But listen, we have a younger generation. And if we can grab them with a mission, we can grab the people, the youngers behind us. We grab them with a mission. That's why we do what we do here at YCF. Okay? We grab them. We want to help them. And if we can help them catch the mission that God has for their life when they're young, man, it'll be so much better. Okay, I got saved when I was about 21 years old. 0 to 21, not a good mission. Shoot. And I don't let regrets and shame and condemnation hold me. But man, if I had known Jesus as a young one, wow. All right, so we wanna help a young generation, all righty? So if you're 40 and above, you're not, okay, our number one goal is to help them with a mission. Our mission is to help them. All righty? And what's it going to cost us? Oh, Pastor D, you spent all this money on youth. Oh my gosh, you put a bathroom on it and you did this and you take this here. And I go, uh-huh. Because we're on a mission to help kids meet Jesus and then walk their mission. All righty? And by the way, we get so much stuff for free. We are blessed. Praise the Lord. But our goal is to help people around us. Amen. Praise the Lord, on a mission, all righty? Okay, let me just say this, and I know I'm preaching to the choir. One of the best ways to stay connected on your mission is stay in a church. Now, I know you're all here. Yep, you're here. I'm probably not talking to you. But let me tell you, your local church, stay in a local church. You stay in your local church, they help you stay on your mission. How many of you know people that are long gone? Sad, long gone. Used to come here, long gone. and they're not walking with the Lord. Okay, church isn't the beginning and the end, and everything is glorious. So I pray that all the time. Okay, but you stay planted. You stay planted in a local church, not hop and skip. Okay, planted, and we'll help you stay on your mission because I'll come after you. Hey, I know what you're called to do. What are you doing back there? Okay, praise the Lord. All righty. Last one. I'm going to do this. Last one. Number four, the Holy Spirit empowers me to help hurting people. The Holy Spirit empowers me to help hurting people. That is my, that's a good mission too. All right. Remember, the Holy Spirit is our power source, right? Okay. And he is not just for me. All right. The Holy Spirit empowers me to help others that are hurting. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. All righty? The Holy Spirit empowers me to help others. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, last scripture? Maybe. Sort of. Okay. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and of all comfort. Underline your word comfort. Who comforts us, underline comfort. He comforts us in all our afflictions. Everybody say afflictions. All right. He comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Wait a minute. Well, look at that scripture. The way that we're comforted by God. The way that we're comforted is so that you can go comfort somebody else. Did you see that? The way that I'm comforted, the way that God helps me is so that I can help you. The way that I am, God helps you is so you can help somebody else. Did you see that? Yeah. All right. So guess what? It's not just about me. It's not just about that, all right? It's not just about you feeling good. Oh, man, it was really fun in church today. Pastor D made us laugh. That was so much fun. You know what? I love when you laugh, and I just start losing it here, but that's not what it's about. It's not what it's about, okay? It's not what it's about. It's about the Holy Spirit comforting you, speaking to you, even in church, okay? So that you will go out of here beyond these four walls and help those that are hurting and hopeless. And you know, I'm not asking you to pay off someone's car loan, stuff like that. Some of it's real easy stuff, like Christianity 101. Just wave at your neighbor. Start there. There's just really easy things you can do, okay? So the Holy Spirit is comforting you so you can help somebody else. I receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit so I can help people, all right? Everybody say, help people. Now, I had you say the word affliction. Do you see that word affliction? Okay, that word affliction in that scripture means tribulation, but it really means this. The pressure is on. That word affliction means the pressure is on. Anybody have a day where the pressure was on? Man, okay? Like, all the bills are piling up. The pressure is on. My kids, the one needs braces. One needs this. The pressure's on. Anybody have pressure on your life? Okay? All this stuff is pressure on. So the Apostle Paul is saying the Holy Spirit will comfort you and where the pressure's on in your life. So that's why I go, help! Holy Spirit, help, because when I have pressure on my life, isn't that wonderful? He'll help you when the pressure's on your life. Everybody say, that's good. And you know, he could have stopped there. I would have been tickled pink. Man, I know when I get in a fix, I've got the Holy Spirit that's going to help me when the pressure's on. That would be good. Let's go home and have ice cream. Okay? But look what it says, okay? It says, it's more than that. It says he comforts you and so that you can help anybody else with their afflictions. You can help anybody in any affliction. I like that word, any. Any struggles. Any pressure. He can help you in any affliction, pressure. The Holy Spirit can help you in any. Okay, so here you go. It's not like, oh, you know, that person over there, Well, Dolores, man, she's got this affliction. I'm cool. I can go over and talk with her and pray with her. But, oh, Lane over there. Oh, I can't do that one. I better call Pastor D. No. It says the Holy Spirit will help you in any affliction. Because he's sent to you, not just the preacher. All right? Praise the Lord. Any. Say any. Anyone, any affliction. The Holy Spirit will come and help you, okay? He will equip you. He will help you. All righty? So, the other word is comfort. So, we have affliction means the pressure is on. And the comfort means take the pressure off. I just like that. The Holy Spirit will help you when the pressure's on to take it off. Okay? Praise God. That, anyway. All right. Praise the Lord. I'm lost in my pages here. Where should we? Oh, praise Jesus. Hallelujah. So let's look this way. The comforter will release pressure in your life. You got a big balloon, and it's getting bigger and bigger, and you put a little hole in it. He takes the pressure off your life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He takes the pressure out of your life. Praise the Lord. All righty. So how about this? How about this? This is what church is all about. How about... your next door neighbor. This just really happened to me. Across the street, two doors down. This is an elderly couple. They're probably cruising 90. Her husband died. So I have a neighbor, and they've lost somebody. Okay? How about I go, oh, I don't know what to say to them. Sorry. That doesn't sound like the Holy Spirit. How about you go, Holy Spirit, you're tugging on my heart to go see Geraldine. Because Sip passed away. And I really don't know what to say, but I thank you. You help me to help them. Okay? You know, one time the Lord told me, just go over there and just hold that lady and just cry with her. Yeah, that was all. It wasn't any, I didn't have to, blah, 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 blah. Okay. All right, how about this? You have a neighbor, and they have a child, and the child just went through some traumatic thing. And trauma in their life. And how about you go, Holy Spirit, you're tugging on my heart. Help me. And this is what you do. You go ring the doorbell and you say, hi, neighbor. If there's anything you need, I'm here to help. If I can do it, I'm going to help you. Because I got the Holy Spirit. And then, can I pray with you? Oh, I could never do that, Pastor D. I'm not that kind of person. That's just you. Okay, I used to say that. And then the Holy Spirit said, right? How about, I have the Holy Spirit. He's sent to help me to help others. And man, I still, to this day, I'm sweating it. I'm sitting in the parking lot at York Hospital, and I just got a phone call. I'll tell you, and Joan just left, I'd say this, but I got, Joan called me the day her grandson was in a car accident. She says, Pastor D, he's in there. So the Holy Spirit's tugging on me. I said, I'll pick you up. You're not driving, lady. Drove her down to that hospital, and I'm getting to walk into this ward, and I am shaking in the boots. Where's Jack? Are you kidding me? I'm not supposed to be doing this. I have these conversations with the Lord like that a lot. And I had to say, Lord, I need your help. Holy Spirit, you said you would help me bring comfort. And I walked into a room where this body was dead. And they got it all plugged up, and it's looking ugly. It's been in a horrible accident. And I'm going, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit because I acknowledged him. I asked him for his help. And to this day, I don't know what I said. I really don't. But just the presence of God and the story. All right, so. Write this down if you're taking notes. Moving to my next door. Here we go. The Holy Spirit enables ordinary people. Raise your hand. No, you can't. You're writing notes. Okay, write your notes. The Holy Spirit enables ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Extraordinary, if you like that. The Holy Spirit enables ordinary people. All righty? So, how many of you are ordinary? There are no superstars here. The Holy Spirit. Oh, I am so sorry. That was your son. I feel like a dum-dum. Okay. But it was good. We know where he is. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what. I've watched you walk. And you're walking. And I like your posts. Not those hashtags. That was Mary's son. I am so sorry. Please forgive me if I didn't mean to be insensitive. I really didn't. You know I love you. Okay, now I can't see anything. Here we go. The Holy Spirit will empower ordinary people to do extraordinary things, but you have to acknowledge him and ask him for his help. He is a gentleman, and he is not going to push himself, even though I'm going to push you, all right? So here, homework, write this down. This is your homework. Oh, excuse me, challenge. We don't call it homework, okay? Challenge, ready? How can I reconnect with the power source in my life this week? How can I reconnect, all right? And we're going to talk more about this the next 2 weeks. We're really going to go deeper in this. But really, really simple, this is what we said. Holy Spirit. By the way, we don't pray to the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name, but we ask the Holy Spirit for help. So you can talk to him. You can talk to him. Holy Spirit, I got this going on. I need your help. All right? God, Holy Spirit, tomorrow's Monday at work, and I really am not doing good at work. I lose my temper with these idiots, and they are so dumb, and my boss is, rah, and then I go, okay, Holy Spirit, I need your help to live right, okay, to live right, okay, and he'll help you. And then I'm going to say, and help me to help somebody else. Amen. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for just all that you are. It's so wonderful. And all that Jesus has done for us is amazing. And I thank you for the ever presence of your Holy Spirit that helps us. I pray that this week that you would help everybody, empower them, that you would become more real in their life this week than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, this is church family. So I usually go, everybody bow your heads, close your eyes if you're here today and you have not asked the Lord Jesus to be Savior of your life. But I know y'all. So I'm going to let you be dismissed. Praise the Lord. We have communion fellowship. We have...